evening, good evening, everyone out there on the sub-ether waveband. This is Hutton Orbital Live, and I'm Harry Balzac, your host for this evening of fun, frolics, and more cheese and onion crisps than are good for us. We've opted for a circular formation this evening in the studio. It means we're more likely to trip over some wires if we go to the fridge, but it does make it easier to pass round the talking stick. And incidentally, later on, the port, assuming clockwise matters in zero-G. Anyway, joining me around the metaphorical campfire are...
Wilma Fingerdoo, your favourite tongue-twisting troubadour.
Mia Harkness, your favourite apology officer. Sorry for that.
Normus Knockers, friend of Flossie, the Pilots Federation's favourite pilot. And I'm missing Lou.
And I'm Juan Kerr, your favourite double entendre. And I say, hit me with those crazy beats, Mr. Bongman.
All these worlds are yours, except WISE 0855-07141A. Attempt no landing there.
Things are looking up for pirates in Garudgy.
Cutting onion head is making people cry.
Cat paws in court proceedings.
Rochester's got something loose in his attic.
10th Fleet, second place.
You can find Lou Does in the dictionary under Thankless Task.
And I'm here to let you know what you're doing.
Speculation is rife about why a particular planet in WISE 0855-0714 should suddenly become permit-locked, at least temporarily. Commander Timo Kepler was attempting to perform a routine scan of the surface of planet 1A, an otherwise unremarkable icy body with a reasonably high percentage of sulfur and carbon, when his panel flashed, "A permit is required to land here." His ship's computer reported that the incoming scan data was corrupt, and he was dumped, unceremoniously, into a state of oblivion by a scarlet crate. Now, it should be remembered that this system, these days, is a beacon of truckerishness, a glistening star in Alvin's collar, was not always quite as reputable. Before we rescued the system from its own small brand of infamy, the outpost Yamazaki Landing was a pirate's lair, complete with Red Skull holograms, haunting noises that caused your spine to shiver nearly as much as Cecil saying, "I'm just off to Cubicle 3, and a black market that used to sell actual black marks or spots. The pirates that used to live in the station don't, not anymore, but we never did find out where they went. We can't be sure that what happened to the hero of this story and Commander Timo Kepler has reported that once again, back in his Cobra Mark III, he returned to the planet, and this time he was able to land without incident. A search of the planet's geological sites revealed no clues as to the reason for what appears to have been a targeted attack, and even the lake inside this extremely large volcano was no help, nor was the nearby surface named Blofeld's Cathery and Monocle Emporium. Only time will tell, but we do understand that a message was recently sent from the planet's surface asking for details about the upcoming Odyssey initiative and whether there were suits for sale that could have the lower section adapted to accommodate a wooden leg. In our second possible piece of pirate news this week, our attention has been drawn by Commander OKM to a tall story. A one-story installation, Goodwin's Progress, sits on a tall pillar of rock, a 20.2-kilometre piece of rock, a rock that's a column, the sheer size that not even Shea Blackwood could ascend. What's it for, you may ask, and who would choose such a high-up, hard-to-reach, inhospitable place for their base? Our first thought was, in a word, Rapunzel. This was dismissed after Cannon did some research into the tensile strength of braided hair the strength of human follicles and the weight of a prince in full space legs, even with only 0.27g, and concluded that it would be possible, but since hair grows at about 1 centimetre per lunar month, it would take over 168,000 Earth years to reach the ground. So that's where our theory fell on the ground. Or didn't. Our second thought was Jupiter Rochester. We figured that this was somewhere he could hide away from the authorities and at the same time practice his putting. But that was before today's news. More on that story later. Our third thought, which we admit really should have been our first, was the Don. Yes, dastardly Don Antonacci is always looking for new places to hide and hatch his nefarious schemes. And this, the exact opposite of an underground lair, would suit him down to the ground. Or up to it, if you see what I mean. Goodman's Progress is a high security system, if you'll pardon the pun, that sits immediately in the dark. Sits permanently in the dark, nestling in the tidally locked grungy A1. It's the exact opposite on an underground lair, with sentinels instead of piranhas and Momus bog spaniels instead of cute little kitty cats. The security perimeter covers the entire plateau, so no picnicking signs could be considered superfluous. There's nowhere for an SRV to sit peacefully, making it necessary for ships to land inside the security zone before disgorging their buggies. Which leads to the kind of reception that a Thargoid might get if it gatecrashed a Haxwing convention. Some say that if you listen very carefully, if you fly past the installation, and if you can manage to tune out the sounds of the laser blasts in your hull coming apart, you might, just might, hear fiendish cackling in an Italian accent.
The planet of Panem, an Earth-like world in the Kappa Firnakis system, is famous for two things, being the only place in the galaxy where onion head has grown, and more recently for nearly running out of it. There are places in the galaxy where owning and consuming this drug is completely legal, but plenty more where it is not, which has led to a thriving trade on Panem for visitors who like to buy some purely for medicinal purposes, you understand? This is not normally a problem, but this Earth-like world is just a little too Earth-like. It's suffering from climate change. Partly because of all the smoke emitted from the myriad visitors and natives puffing away on hand-rolled licorice paper-wrapped bundles of onion head seeds mixed with tobacco, which has led to a planet-wide shortage of the entirely harmless and not at all habit-forming narcotic, and his unexpectedly sudden drop in the impulse buying of chocolate-based snacks. A spokesman for the Panem Onion Head Growers Association said, "Last year was the worst year ever. It's laughable that onion head is in short supply on Panem. Onion head can still be purchased through legal channels, but the price has rocketed by 5 to 10 times. In order to keep prices low, black markets have asked for oregano and dried basil leaves to be delivered, so that they can stretch their supplies. This has led to much of the planet now smelling like an overcooked pizza, minus the pineapple, of course."
The recent trial of Fleet Admiral Lucas Vincent was a remarkable affair, not least because of the behaviour of two of the lawyers. As you know, galactic distances make it difficult for courts to meet physically, and so it's routine practice these days to use holo-me images when presenting cases. The problem was that one of the defence lawyers had fallen foul of a practical joke, and his holo-me, normally a sober figure in a dark pinstripe flight suit, had been replaced by that of a cat. A cute cat. One that was bound to get the sympathy of the court and murmuring as, "Ah, little kitty," could be heard from the jury box. The lawyer apologised and claimed that behind the scenes his wife was attempting to undo the changes made to the holo-me, and all might have gone well except for the prosecution lawyer not wanting to give his opponent any leverage. Flicked a switch on his console marked rebuttal, and his holo-me probably appeared as a puppy. Well, obviously that meant war, and the two went on the attack, adding false noses to each other's characters, fake scars, even replacing the background with ones portraying somewhat insalubrious places. All in all, an ever-escalating attempt to discredit the opposition. It is believed that during this point in the proceedings that Jupiter Rochester took advantage of the uproar in the courtroom to make his now infamous escape to the HIP 545-30 system and two lawyers were helped to make threads regarding getting their dad, because mine's bigger than yours.
Talking of Jupiter Rochester, we know that there's a community goal related to the freshly unlocked HIP 54530 system, and Flossie will no doubt give us the official story, but I, Norma Snockers, am here to tell you that here at Hutton, we reckon that all this combat is just a smokescreen. The real reason behind the permit was so the Pilots Federation could send in pilots for search and rescue missions to retrieve certain items. Yes, it's understood that the missing miscreant is hiding out at his secret base, the one where he keeps his stores of moustache wax, extra bad guy twirling strength.
I thought it's where he kept the plans for the Death Star.
No, it's his secret rebel base, isn't it?
I heard the heaps of Panther Clipper there.
I'm sure somebody said it was actually Raxlin.
Anyway, we say watch the skies as thousands upon thousands of ships are destroyed. Provided, that is, Alex Zuno gets back in his cockpit, and the true reason for us being able to visit HIP 54530 and silently criticise their choice of soft furnishings will be revealed. Meanwhile, a certain Mr. Bucknecked was last seen in his Type 9 en route to HIP 54530, threatening to perform surgery and create a new pair of dangly earrings when he catches up with the man who's caused so much pain for his beloved Lacon Spaceways.
We're going to keep this item short, much like the war in Barnard's Star, as we have no wish to crow in a juvenile fashion about the defeat of the 10th Fleet. We've decided that words such as crushing, inevitable, and jumped up have no place in a serious and balanced news article, and the champagne that's being opened is bound to be because it's someone's birthday. Thank you, truckers, for your efforts in seeing off these attempted parvenus. We bear the 10th Fleet no ill will, of course, and wish them every success in their future endeavours once they find something on their list of things to try that they're good at. The good news is that they can cross combat off that list.
Lou's disappeared. He was here earlier, but I noticed he was wearing his good suit. So he's either going for a job interview, or it's the courts. Again. There are some notes here, but they're scribbled on what looks like China graph pencil on a bloomin' fax. Let's hope the date is more up to date than his equipment. Don't give me that look, Norma, you know what I mean. It's all hands to the pump. Quite literally in Alpha Centauri. As we're in a drought state. Worse than that time we left Cecil in charge of the keys to the drinks cabinet. People, this is serious. We need grain, fruit and vegetables, food cartridges, fish, synthetic meat and mineral extractors, and of course, you can drop them off at Alden Prospect, unless you're coming here to visit a relative. Nice. But I don't see how that alleviates a drought, which is of course why I normally leave this to Lou and Graham MK. If you do make it all the way out to your favourite orbital, then wine and beer are very much on the wanted list here. Most other systems look good, but if you're bored, Bernard Star, Y0855-0714, and Wolf 359 need a bit of work. If you're out in Colonia or thinking of heading that way soon, King Hanky reports that Hot Coal Bounty Hunting Credit should be handed in at Eel Procol Centauri. Missions and passenger missions for Hot Coal in Eel Procol Centauri, Deriso, Pythias, and Tyr. Buy low and sell high in Eel Procol Centauri, Deriso, and Tyr, Dollar Depot systems. Exploration data can be cashed in at Eel Procol Centauri, Deriso, and Tyr, Dollar Depot only. Please keep up the great work, and remember, if in doubt, post a message to King Hanky regarding any data. If you're a Colonia denizen, and that looks like a lot for you to do, and you can only manage one task, then work in Tyr. by taking needed food and machinery to Dollar Station, as we are an infrastructure failure. Right, that's enough of that. I can feel the 34th century beckoning.
Here are the current events that we know about that are being organised by the Elite Dangerous community. The Buckyball Races have an event. Perhaps we should save reporting for a day when they don't have an event. That's still got a few days to run, combining flying, driving and avoiding Thargoids, all under the guise of checking out Thargoid bases on behalf of Canon Research, but we're afraid that you can't claim expenses. It's still ongoing until Sunday, 14th of February, but you can find out all you need to know in their forum post, which you can get to from bit.ly/TSScramble. Here's advance notice of an event on Saturday, February the 20th, organised by Commander Venetia, but it's definitely not for hot boxes. It's a small ship bounty hunting event, and Commander Venetia writes, "This event will start at 4 p.m. EST, 9 p.m. UK time. We will be heading to Wolf 1481 for bounty hunting. We will only be using small ships for this trip, so make sure to outfit and engineer a good one. We will turn in bounties at Velasquez for Hutton and the rest at the Alvin's Paw Carrier. We will be launching from the Paw, so make sure to head there before the event. See you all there. Details are on the events tab of our Facebook page. Eros Maidlung's FCM is for Han. Mega Gin Wanderer event continues apace, or at least as fast as any journey where you have to stop and get a vote before making every move. You can still find details in our Facebook events tab, and wherever the fleet carrier eventually arrives, assuming that it does eventually make it somewhere, everyone on board can feel happy in the knowledge that the destination was arrived at democratically, and I bet that none of them ever want to see a referendum again in their lives, but at the moment we know that they're ending up veering off course to visit the Triffid of the North Nebula, and plans for the next jump will come in the next couple of days. Did we miss an event that you know about? Or even worse, did we ignore one that you're organising? So be proactive and let us know about your event, and we'll make sure to give it a big shout out in our show.